97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Always prepared.
Okay.
So as I'm sitting here now, I think, how can I be prepared during these times, you know? Say, well, you know, what do you think, Jeff? Well, life, you know, this is part of life. You got ups and downs, strikes and gutters. This is how we roll being alive, right?
Still riding that election day high, it is the host of Fox and Friends First, Todd Pyro.
Incorrect. And let me explain. So last week, Wednesday, I had a 5.5 hour drive back from Pennsylvania. Normally, one would sleep on that drive.
Yes.
I could not. And you want to know why?
Because you were so excited.
I was scrolling TikTok to watch the liberal meltdowns. I'm not proud of it. I couldn't sleep. So didn't really sleep great Wednesday night. Again, riding an election, post-election high. Thursday, I thought, okay, fine. I'll come. No, I was riding high on Thursday. I couldn't take a long nap on Thursday for some reason. I can nap anytime, anywhere. Friday, when we got to Friday, I was scheduled for an appearance with Tyrus on America's Newsroom. And I literally go to Tyrus. I was like, bro, you're taking the mother load on this one. I feel like I'm about to commit television malpractice. Like something stupid's going to come out of my mouth because I have no idea where I am. And I'm going to ruin what was a pretty solid election week. So long story short, I use my five. I go to Hemmer. I was like, Hemmer, I'm using a 5-iron. Like, I'm not messing around here. And we made it through. And I thought, you know, 2 days of sleeping, you know, late, you know, when you have kids, that's 5:36. But nevertheless, it's way later for me. I thought, you know, I'll be good. Yesterday, useless. Good for 1 hour on TV, the hour they'd pay me for, but useless the other 23. And today, same. Like, good for the hour they pay me. Useless right now. You're not getting my best.
Wow. You know, I teed you up there. I played a bite from the Big Lebowski talking about how he's dealing with all the stress. He's in mourning. He told the late night host last night. He's in mourning like the Big Lebowski would be. Wouldn't he just let all this roll off of him?
Yeah, well, that's what the Big Lebowski would, but Jeff would not.
I watched The Man. Have you watched that show that he's in? Is it called,
dude,
is that what it's called?
I get my relaxation time is 1 to 2 hours maybe per week with my wife, and we have not watched The Man. Like, we are so
the old man. The old man.
Whatever it is. We haven't finished Stranger Things, okay? That's how behind we are.
Well, someday, look what you have to look forward to, right? Someday you'll be able to just binge all that stuff when the kids are on their own and you don't have to worry about it anymore.
25 years. So I'll schedule a date with my wife. Hey, wife, I already can barely walk, but when I officially can't walk, we should just park our butts in front of the TV. Do what we got to do.
Yeah, Todd, you know, I don't know what you're covering on Fox this morning, but I just heard that somebody is shooting airplanes in and out of Haiti.
I know. Nobody saw that coming.
No.
Haiti's so calm.
They eat cats, but now they're shooting airplanes.
They had a flight attendant who was injured.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Not funny anymore, is it?
No, it's not funny.
Like, I got in trouble when I killed me tonight. I had a little fun with the escaped monkey story out of South Carolina. Of course, you get that one person writing you online. It's not a funny story.
They're still on the loose. The people there in the small, whatever South Carolina town that is, they're still supposed to be on lockdown because they've not caught these dang monkeys.
They caught one.
They caught one of the 18 wild monkeys that are roaming the town and could rip people's faces off.
They're like tiny little monkeys.
Yeah.
Everybody will survive.
Freedom! They're right. Standing up there watching themselves be recorded screaming freedom.
That's how it works. So, Mark, are you happy with the election results one week ago today?
I have been walking on air, Todd, for a week now.
There you go.
You know, at first I taunted people a little bit. I gloated. I'll admit that. I've since been watching for the other side. They've apparently all shaved their heads and they're walking around with face diapers on so you can spot them from a mile away.
Because somehow that protest Trump's win.
Can I make the comment that I really can't make on TV, but
yes.
I really want to make, period? So the women that are doing that are threatening the male population with no relations. That's like when I punish my child with, oh, you're being bad. I'm going to make you watch your cartoons. Okay. The kids are like, great. Thanks for making this easy on me. I just sit here. All the male population are like, well, thanks for self-selecting for us. One, we know who the crazy people are. And then secondarily, your look's not doing it for me. And you see the conservative women pouncing on this. They're like, we're open for business.
See, I just don't understand how that somehow protests his win. And over here, I'm like celebrating, like, yeah, by all means, wait until you're married. But the Planned Parenthoods are flipping out because they're like, we don't have any babies now that they can kill.
Right.
And I'm being blunt about that because seriously, that's going to take a hit on their business. Isn't that sad?
I mean, it seriously is. It just underscores the fallacy of this whole thing and how their entire platform is based upon stupidity, at least in the current iteration of the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Hey, Todd, can I just tell you, I know you probably met Tom Homan over the years because he's been on Fox a lot.
Guy.
He's like a bulldog. I love that guy. He's probably my favorite pick so far for that job because I can't imagine anybody better to be the border czar.
Well, I texted him on Wednesday. One of the things I did in the car, in addition to looking at the libs of TikTok and the libs being owned. So I texted Tom. I'm like, I literally wrote, buckle up, buttercup. And he goes, I'm ready. And I said, look, you know, the only really thing I care about is the safety of my girls. I can handle a lot of economic stuff, you know, unless they tax us at 100%. But the safety is why we have government, to protect us, because that's the one thing we cannot do on our own en masse. Mm. Like, I cannot fight a war on my own. And this is a war. This is an invasion. And so Tom's like, I'm ready. I'll protect your family. And that's your guy. So I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, I think we are. Hey, thank you, my friend. We'll let you go. I know you got a hit on the Big Fox here shortly.
Hey, maybe next week they'll stop scheduling me for hits literally during our appointed time.
Hey, you're in demand. It's okay. We appreciate we got you.
Person.
Thanks, Todd.
Have a great week, St. Louis.
Yep. See you, buddy. Appreciate that. You know what else has kind of been blown over in this whole thing? Today they announced, maybe it was late last night, that Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor, is going to be made Department of Homeland Security.
I saw that.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but will she be the first female director of Homeland Security? Won't she?
It's only been around for 20 years.
Yeah, but I don't think there's been a woman in that position so far. First female chief of staff, first female director of Homeland Security.
But Mark, there's a war on women.
Trump is... Well, she can protect them. She's going to be in charge.
I mean, even if you're saying it's only been around for 20 years, the libs would make sure to capitalize on that. Even if it was the first time that position was a thing, the libs would be like, this is the first ever female. I mean, it'd be the headline. Any time you can say there's a minority in power, they're going to make sure they emphasize that.
I may be wrong, but I think she's the first. I'll have to go back and check on that. All right, coming up, there is a battle underway, by no other way to describe it, for the Speaker of the House position in the state of Missouri. The person everybody assumed it would be is now being challenged by one of our own state representatives from here in the greater St. Louis area. We're going to talk to Justin Sparks when we come back from the break. All right, when I'm wrong, I'm usually willing to admit it unless I'm arguing with my wife. I was wrong. So Kristi Noem would not be. She'd be far from the first woman to be the head of the Department of Homeland Security. I forgot all about Janet Napolitano, who didn't sleep much for Barack Obama. And then Kirsten Nielsen, who served during Trump's first term.
So she'd be the third.
She would be the third.
His second.
Those first two were unmemorable. I did not remember them, so I apologize.
Or you'd blocked out Napolitano.
I might have blocked out Napolitano altogether. You know how that goes. All right, let's look now at what's going on in the state of Missouri, right? There is a little bit of a battle underway, and I'm glad to see it, for House Speaker. We've got State Representative Justin Sparks on the phone with us this morning from District 110. And Justin, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks for having me on. Good morning.
You bet, man. Great to get you on here. I read somebody texted me the other day. Hey, did you know Justin is challenging John Patterson for Speaker of the House? And I'm like, well, no, I didn't. Let's get him on the radio. What sparked this?
Yeah, you know, I've set off a little bit of an earthquake in Missouri politics. And the reason is we have an heir apparent to the speakership, John Patterson. And he's been selected through an informal caucus vote over a year ago. And he's supposed to be the person that takes the speakership in January when the official vote takes place. Here's the problem. John Patterson doesn't represent Republican values. John Patterson was one of the only Republicans to vote against the SAFE Act, which prohibited transgender surgeries and puberty-blocking hormones for children. John Patterson was the only Republican that voted against initiative petition reform, which would have prevented Amendment 3 from passing by the statistics and the numbers alone. John Patterson is the person that has refused to bring up the Second Amendment bills that are so precious to so many of us. This is John Patterson, the man. This is a repeated pattern of behavior from John Patterson. But we have to talk about the system that gave us John Patterson. Why would a supermajority in the state of Missouri in the House of Representatives choose such a person that doesn't reflect our values to be, in fact, the most powerful person in the Missouri State House? And the reason for that is because special interests and donors want John Patterson in that position so that they can forward their liberal special interests. Power is for sale in Jefferson City. And how do I know that? Well, because you can purchase it.
Ah.
If you want to be on the budget committee, you got to pay $5,000, was one of the representatives that told me that's exactly how much they had to pay. If you want to be a chairman, you have to pay $20,000. Mark, when I got down to Jefferson City, they take you to lunch. It's a fried chicken lunch. And they give you an envelope, but in the envelope there's a card. And in mine was a little card that said $20,000 on it. And that was what I was going to be required to pay to the House Republican Campaign Committee in order to secure my spot on a powerful committee or a chairmanship or eventual future leadership.
What?
That's their first test to find out if you're going to pay to play. It's their first test of you to see if you'll go along with the scheme in order so that you can be manipulated and special interests can continue to push forward legislation that do not reflect the voters' will.
So, Justin, where does the money go?
So the money flows into the House Republican Campaign Committee, and then that is spent to consultants during the election cycle.
Ah.
So, for example, the former director of the House Republican Campaign Committee actually was partners in a consultant firm. So as representatives are purchasing their places of power, that money was flowing to him, to his partner, in his consultant firm. That's how it works. It's incestuous. And it's corrupting. That's what I've been telling people is, like, whenever you insert huge amounts of money into the process of buying power, it's a corrupting force. And so once they see the representatives that are going to go, because not all representatives go along with this scheme, but once they see the ones that will go and will do what they're being forced and compelled to do, then more special interests are encouraged to flood and pour money through that representative, essentially laundering it to HRCC.
Wow.
That is how it works.
That's insane. You know, the outside money that poured into Amendment 3 to get it passed here in Missouri was also just ridiculous. And I saw Channel 4 ran a story about you saying if you were to become speaker, that on day one, you'd want to figure out a way, let's take steps to get Amendment 3 abortion restrictions back on the ballot. How do you go about doing that? And do you think it would stand a chance to pass?
And that, you're exactly right. And that is why that's one of the main reasons I'm doing what I'm doing, because John Patterson has made statements that he will not do that. He
right.
will not tackle Amendment 3. Guys, Amendment 3 barely passed, and it passed because of three cities. And this is something we've known in Missouri for a very long time. This is why initiative petition reform, the process of changing the Constitution, has been the number one Republican priority for the last 8 years. But we have people like John Patterson that continually and constantly stonewall and stand in the way. And he can do that because he was the floor majority leader and he was one of the most powerful people controlling legislation. That's on purpose, right? That's intentional. We have to change that in order to fix the system. And the way that you do that is you say, okay, polling data shows that well over 70% of Missourians want restrictions on abortion. They don't want unrestricted abortion up until the day of birth. They don't want women that are injured by abortions not to be able to sue the person that did the abortion on them if they're injured. They don't want these things. Okay, so what do they want? We build the framework in the Constitution, and then we tackle it statutorily.
Yeah, Justin, I'm about out of time here. What's the action step here? Should people call their reps and let them know that they support you?
That's exactly right. And we're seeing that from all over, by the way,
yeah.
Especially from those that have not been indoctrinated or manipulated in the system. The brand new legislators, right? They're coming out in droves to support me. People need to contact their representative and say, vote the right way. Vote for Justin Sparks.
Justin, thank you for your time, my friend. We'll talk soon.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
What a beautiful day in America for 2A Tuesday. Your Second Amendment rights much more secure than they were just 1 week ago. And I'll be quite honest with you, I was a nervous wreck. This time a week ago, I was cautiously optimistic, but I wasn't willing to say this is going to be a landslide. Guess who was? The guy I've got on the phone right now. I have not punched him up yet on purpose because I want to read you the tweet that he sent me first. This came from my friend Mark Walters 1 week ago at about 8 o'clock in the evening. I was over at Channel 4. He goes, how you feeling tonight? Question mark. Me, Trump 312. I'm sticking with it. He called this race at 8 o'clock last Tuesday night. And lo and behold, guess who's got 312 electoral votes? Donald J. Trump. Mark Walters, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. That's great to hear. It's great to be here.
You are a soothsayer, is what you are.
There was no magic to it. You and I have been talking back and forth about this for a long time. It was all based off of pure logic. It really was not a guess. It was based off, look, the Democrats cannot afford to lose the union vote, period, anywhere. They cannot lose demographics in black votes, Latino votes, and that's what happened in virtually every state across the country. It was a foregone conclusion. So I felt really comfortable Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin were going to go. I knew Georgia was red. Georgia was red in 2020. We just got, you know how that turned out. There was no chance North Carolina was going to flip blue. North Carolina had voted red for the previous three election cycles, and we knew Arizona was coming back. Nevada, if you've been watching the Real Clear Politics average polling over the course of several months, Nevada had been leaning and swinging Trump throughout the year leading up to the election. So it just seemed like an easy pick. I had faith in Americans that they did not want four more years of what we've just suffered through.
Did you think, though, that it would be a clean sweep, that we'd get control of the Senate and maintain control of the House?
Yes. In fact, you have a clip. I closed out the show on Tuesday, and I said millions of Americans will wake up shocked tomorrow. Trump 312, Republicans gain the Senate and hold the House.
Wow.
And they did it. I mean, Harry Reid's rolling over in his grave somewhere on those Nevada results. I know it, right? And you told us all along, don't worry, Georgia's got this. And indeed, ended up a lot redder, even in red areas, because people turned out to vote.
Yeah, and you know what was interesting about Georgia? Of course, I'm in Georgia, and I have to make this point. I voted early with my daughter a week before the election on a Friday at 4:45 p.m., Now, I live in a bright red county that was going to go for Trump at least 90%. That's simple. It always does. The early voting lines were massive, massive that week before the election. Those were not Biden voters in this red county. So it was very clear to me, that was indicative that the rest of the red counties are experiencing this record turnout as well. There weren't enough people in the Atlanta metro area, let alone of voting age, to overcome what we saw happening in this state. It was a fairly easy call. It really was.
Yeah.
Maybe the libs are the ones out there buying guns, trying to figure out how to work them, because they're all freaked out now with Trump being president. They're having meltdowns.
Well, we're not a missing persons alert, Kim. We're looking for those 18 million voters. We can't find them from 2020. We don't know where they went.
Where did they go? I have to tell you. So, you know, here's the thing. You and I were both critical of some of the decisions Donald Trump made before when it came to firearms, the stocks and the bump stocks. And you know, I again, that's been reversed by the court. We don't have to worry about that. What you do know is that there aren't going to be any calls by the government to come and force you to sell back your weapons to the federal government. Hopefully we can lay a lot of these things to rest, because there's some key cases coming before the Supreme Court this year, right?
Yeah, there are. The assault weapons ban case out of the Fourth Circuit in Maryland, we're waiting for that.
And I have really good news for gun owners that are listening. I'll get to that in just a second. But we also won the assault weapons ban and magazine case, capacity case, in Illinois. Just last week, a federal judge put a permanent injunction against Illinois enforcing it. He stayed it for 30 days, his permanent injunction, so the state could appeal, which is pretty much parliamentary. Right. But we won that. But I have great news for gun owners I want people to hear. Our good friend Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, will be at Mar-a-Lago for the victory celebration this week, later this week, with Donald Trump. He was invited a week ago. Fortunately, thank God, it turned into a victory celebration, which we all needed. Alan was a guest on my show Sunday and made it very clear he will be having an impact on judicial nominees and picks. I have a sense that Alan Gottlieb, I know for a fact, I can say this for a fact because he said it on my show, we have an ear in the White House through our good friend Alan Gottlieb over the next 4 years. And that is a wonderful position to be in. Gun owners can rejoice because gun owners flipped this election for Trump.
Yeah. And I heard Donald Trump, you know, I thought it was AI when it first came out. All these little videos he's making on what he's going to do when he gets in office. And then I realized he's really churning these things out. He wants the American people to know he's going to follow through. And one of the ones, Mark, was conceal carry reciprocity. Because, you know, when I leave the state of Missouri to drive to Illinois, if I'm not just passing through, I have to have my firearm locked up with the ammunition stored separately, or I could be arrested and thrown in jail in my neighboring state.
Not for much longer.
Right.
That's going to be fixed. And again, there's this sense of positiveness out there. Like you're feeling it now. You're still riding that wave. Kim, I know you. I've been listening to you guys all morning. Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
You know, particularly you were talking about Tom Homan being a bulldog. I was with Tom Homan in mid-October. He and I and Jack Posobiec were three that spoke at the Rod of Iron Festival at Carr Arms. I had to follow. Tom Homan spoke first. Posobiec spoke second. I had to follow them. That's like a fledgling musician following Elvis when you just learn to play the guitar. Okay? But I held my ground. I was proud of myself. But these guys mean business. And Homan means business. I had personal conversation with him, and you've been hearing him. He's not playing games. And, guys, I know Americans don't like to hear this, but you go back to 2020. We all know what happened. Now it's becoming clear what happened. But the fact of the matter is I firmly believe in divine intervention. This nation had to experience the pain of the previous 4 years to get us to where we are today because we had two stark contrasting views that we lived. We lived Trump for 4 years. Then we were forced to live this nightmare for 4 years, and Americans rejected it. So whatever happened in 2020 as a part of that divine intervention package, think of it in these terms. Had Trump won a second term, we would likely have a Democrat president this time around. And thank goodness that did not happen.
Amen.
I don't think he would have been as effective as he will be now had he just been reelected. I agree. I think we kind of almost had to hit rock bottom.
No question about it, Kim. I'm right there with you. He is going in there gangbusters. It is a great day in America. I'm proud that we were able to do this in such a resounding way. Look at what happened to the electoral map in California and New York.
Oh, yeah.
My gosh. You know, I thought we might never see California flip back to where it should be, to its red roots in my lifetime. Hey, we could be wrong on that. It could be another two election cycles. America rejected Gavin Newsom's view for America, and they did it resoundingly in his own home state. So that's wonderful news all the way around, guys. Feel great.
Mark, remind people where they can listen to Armed American Radio.
Just stick your head out the window at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3, and you'll hear my voice out there. Now, armedamericanradio.com. You can find me 5 days a week and on Sundays, Mark.
I love it. You're a great American. Thank you.
Love you guys.
All right. See you soon. Mark Walters there, host of Armed American Radio. I had to let him get on here and brag a little bit because he called it dead on. 312 electoral votes. Great stuff. All right, coming up, Kim, what are we talking about today? And Kim on a whim.
Well, we've been talking about all these changes Trump says he's going to do basically from day one. One of them is to the education. Department of Education wants to get rid of it, wants to change the way that these colleges are accredited. Let's go. Libs freaking out about this.
Yeah, can't wait. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
You know, Trump has been putting out these videos on social media talking about what he wants to do, right? He wants to keep the promises he made to the American people. And one of those is an overhaul of the education system. By now, all of us should realize it's broken. Whether or not you agree with his idea to potentially end the Department of Education is one thing, but surely we can all agree that some changes need to be made. Now, keep in mind, if he ends the Department of Education, what would happen is it would just go back to the state. So the individual states would have jurisdiction over that.
Yes.
And I agree with that. I think it's so messed up right now. He wants to change the accreditation process when it comes to these woke universities where people are spending tens of thousands of dollars only to be indoctrinated and to just be more in touch with their feelings, I guess, because several of these universities are having like emotional support people in for the students after Trump won, and they're canceling exams and canceling classes, and they're having, what were they having last week, Mark? I'm forgetting what the name of that, a calming jar or whatever that is for students who are traumatized by the fact that Donald Trump will be president again for the next 4 years. I agree. He says, I want to get rid of all these current accreditors who are working, trying to, you know, make sure that these colleges and universities are upholding a level of standards that are unacceptable right now. And he wants, he's like, let's accept new applications for all these new people to come in and overhaul the system.
So here's what you need to understand about the Department of Education if you don't. The Department of Education wasn't created until 1979 under Jimmy Carter, right? And our test scores and everything else about education has taken a nosedive since 1979. That tells you the story you need to understand. Here's the next thing. They have weaponized the Department of Justice and used the Department of Education to institute those changes into our curriculum. Do you understand that? The Department of Civil Rights within the Department of Justice has gone to these school districts and said, if you don't interpret Title IX the way we tell you to and allow boys into girls' bathrooms, we'll withhold your federal funding. That's the garbage they've pulled on us.
Right.
And for the $200 billion budget they have every year, they don't educate anyone. They institutionalize people.
Did you see what Trump said in one of his videos about any schools that try to engage in racial discrimination? Because, yes, Title IX is no longer a thing, but they've found a way, they've found loopholes to go through and still find even the local high schools.
Yes.
We were doing a story, what was it, last week on Parkway West, I think, my alma mater, finding loopholes to still discriminate. And so he says if any of these schools engage in that, he says what they're going to do is not only tax their endowments, but he's going to advance a measure that would fine them up to the entire amount of their endowment. And some of these Ivy League schools, not just Ivy League, the endowments they have are just insane.
Well, they've grown, and at the same time, they're poor-mouthing that they don't have enough money to get things done.
Right.
And they've grown because of wealthy donors. In some cases, in New York, they've lost those wealthy donors when they realized they were discriminating against the very people they thought they were supporting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Jewish folks pulled their money from some of these universities.
Columbia University is
Yeah,
prime
when they realized
example.
That.
Right.
So somebody's got to be the adult in the room. Academia has gotten away with this for far too long, and they have brainwashed our children.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the schools, if you talk, I know a lot of educators who are conservative who are scared to death to go to school and speak up because all of their administrators, you don't get promoted to an administrative post unless you bought into this woke crap hook, line, and sinker.
And some of these professors who are super woke probably have tenure at these universities, and there's job security there.
It's true.
So they're going to keep pushing their agenda.
From DESE all the way through the higher education, it's true. And I am thrilled to see what's about to happen with the Department of Education. Maybe it won't be around by the end of Donald Trump's term. That would be a blessing for our children, for sure. Coming up, we're going to talk to former Senator Bill Igel about what is likely to happen in the Missouri Senate in the coming session. It's probably not good. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.